We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, the worst-kept secret in this town. I don't know if you guys have heard this yet. Greg Bedard throws it out in his podcast, just tagging along to what everybody else is saying. Quote, from what I gather from talking to people this week, over the past week, Jimmy Garoppolo still is far and away their plan A, meaning the Patriots. That if they had to draw it up, exactly the optimal situation for the Patriots for this coming season, it's Jimmy G coming back here. And of course, that's all dependent on the 49ers doing something. And so over the weekend, there are reports out of San Francisco that the 49ers have interest in Teddy Bridgewater, and that if the Carolina Panthers indeed draft a quarterback, and what do they have, the 8th pick in the draft? Is that right? 8th? Check it out. That the 49ers would try to work out a deal to get Teddy Bridgewater, who has 2 years left on his deal. And then there's the other report that they also have interest in Sam Darnold. And if the Jets draft Zach Wilson at number two, that they would work out a deal for Sam Darnold, making Jimmy Garoppolo available, either trading him to the Patriots or being forced to release him, and then Bill would get even a better situation.
Does anyone really believe that these teams want the public to know what they want to do?
Oh,
does
no.
anyone believe that? Nobody believes that, right? Because I sit there and go, okay, let me see. What would be my strategy if I'm John Lynch? Tell you everything. I'm going to give away the farm. I'm going to let you know everything. I think I spent the weekend finding more reasons to stay the hell away from Jimmy Garoppolo and how it would be an unbelievable mistake if they signed him.
I like this. Why?
I think he is done. I think you have enough proof, and I'm going to lean on Lou a little bit here. Just looking at the numbers as far as his reliability, like the dude is never available.
52% of the time.
52% of the time. He is the third worst interception to touchdown ratio in the league over the last 2 years. He's not worth it. So his best year was what, back in when he actually was 5-0 back in 2017 when he started, when the team had basically given up on life. He goes out there,
well,
and he's 5-0
to the Super Bowl.
He's 5-0, but no, but
the Super Bowl.
I know my point is
they just won more games.
But
yeah, they won games.
That was him identifying himself as a franchise quarterback in 5 games.
I mean, look at San Fran, right? We all think it's a good football team. And they went after Jimmy G, and they made him the starting quarterback. And if Jimmy G is hurt, they lose games. You know, they're not good. You know, and even when he was playing last year, whatever, it was 3-3, I think, before he went down again, whatever it was. But it's like you need to invest so much in your backup quarterback if you have Jimmy G. Like, if you trade for Jimmy G, you should be able to name him your starter now and get another veteran to sit behind. You got to pay two guys to bring in a guy. And again, and it's probably the frustration that San Fran has. I don't blame him one bit. Like, when he's on the field, are you happy with him? Absolutely. You know, we can do things with him. We think we can win with him. The problem is that I want it for 16 weeks. I want to build our offense. You know, I want to add things. I want to make it more complex. I want to keep the things we do well. I want to take the things we don't do well. I want to take them out. And I want it to grow over 16 weeks. And in order for that to work, I need to know if my quarterback's going to be there throughout this growth. And if not, I got to dummy it back down again for the backup.
See, I
wouldn't want to work like that.
And I think San Francisco is definitely going to dump him. I do. I think they look at it, and they are right now in the midst of that window of opportunity to win the Super Bowl. They were there. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're looking at it saying, we're here, and the only thing that's preventing us from getting over the top is our quarterback is only available 52% of the time. But the Sam Darnold stuff and the Teddy Bridgewater stuff.
I don't believe it.
Is that an improvement?
You know, we talked about Tom Brady and how he's affected free agency and quarterback's mind, you know, thinking and everything else. I think there's somebody else we have to start talking about with another effect, because Brady's a unicorn, right? Like Wilson, Watson, all these guys, we all say it's different. You can't compare it to him. I think the other guy that everybody is chasing, there's two categories, Brady and Tannehill. Everyone's chasing for Tannehill. The second year.
We can fix him.
Mariota, we could turn him into Tannehill. Donald, we'll turn him into Tannehill. Look what he did with
Winston.
Case. Winston, we'll do it. Garoppolo, we'll keep. Bill thinks he can keep him healthy. Everybody thinks that they can grab these reclamation projects and turn them into Ryan Tannehill. Meanwhile, Tennessee's team, if you stop Derrick Henry, everybody knows Ryan Tannehill can't beat you. And he's got some pretty good wide receivers.
Let me ask Lombardi.
He's got A.J. Brown. He's got Corey Davis. He's got Jonnu Smith. But if you stop Derrick Henry and put the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands, he can't beat you. That is the guy that everyone's chasing. Everyone's trying to turn these quarterbacks into. And he's still not good enough.
See, I think so. Everyone's chasing him. Like the success that he had, gets released, signs with another team, is the backup, then becomes a starter, gets a new contract.
He becomes good, no longer garbage.
Yeah, it's funny because not alone was that a good, just they had, like, they knew who they were. Their head coach is 10 times the man that Adam Gase was. Like, Mike Vrabel as a head coach gets twice as much out of his players as Adam Gase does, makes twice as many better decisions than Adam Gase does. So, of course, look at all the close games that Mike Vrabel has been in. And I would say he's probably at a 70% clip as far as success. He wins the close games. Adam Gase, can you imagine going to work if you're Ryan Tannehill? No wonder he's thriving. Mm-hmm. First of all, Ryan Tannehill, was a quarterback, then a wide receiver, then a quarterback, then he becomes a number one pick of the Dolphins. And then he goes over, and Adam Gase is his quarterback coach. Like, just does not know how to get the bus out of him. And they're not creating a team. So I agree with you. So every case and every situation is different. But I look at Jimmy Garoppolo and I'm like, all right, look at the last 4 years. You're managing this guy. You're understanding what he's capable of. You like him, but not for $20+ million. No, you gotta. If you paid him 10 to 12,
yeah,
you'd be happy. You'd be happy with him.
And I think that's part of the 49ers thinking on all of this. Is that they're going to have to bring him back at $26 million. And to them, they're sitting there go, that prevents us in a cap-restrictive year from doing a lot of other stuff. If we get rid of him, we can get cheaper guy, and we can have more money to deal with. But you wonder what the mood is in San Francisco and what the fans think out there, because we know what the fans here in New England think of Cam Newton. So this weekend, Ken and Curtis had on Bonta Hill. Bonta Hill, he's a morning host, apparently, out at 95.7 in San Francisco, talking about what the fans think out there of Jimmy G.
Jimmy Garoppolo has become the most polarizing topic outside of Draymond Green in this region. You bring up Jimmy Garoppolo, the phone lines light up, the text messages go crazy, and I think it's flipped. 30% maybe of the fan base wants Jimmy Garoppolo to come back, and there's about 70% that says kick him to the curb. He's missed 23 games in the last three seasons. So people cite the injuries, but then they look at the downfield accuracy. Oh, he doesn't throw the deep ball. It's all Kyle Shanahan. So the fan base is totally out on it. It feels like 70%. And I may be generous about that.
70%, I would say it's about the same we have here with Cam Newton.
Yeah, and
right?
it's the biggest concern I have, because what we saw this offseason, I do think that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels can bring someone in here and get more out of them than maybe they have been in the past. Unless you get a guy like Cam, who just physically is done. So, you know, that's why I say I would rather see them go out and grab your guy Winston or Trubisky or Donald or whatever. I think they can get more out of him. But I put Jimmy G in the same category as Cam.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Not that his body's broken down, but it breaks down. Or it just, he gets hurt. Like, I heard them this morning, actually. I think Ken or somebody, Curtis, actually upset because Wiggy was calling Garoppolo like injury proof or soft or whatever. Like he gets injured a lot, and they're actually debating it. Like, what are you debating?
No, he does.
Like, what's the debate? And I think it was Ken that was like, Brady got hurt. He missed a year. I'm like, one.
Out of 20.
Like, this guy's been in the league, and he couldn't even give you, as good as he looked for you, he couldn't even get through two games. He gave you an unbelievable game and a half. And it was foreshadowing of what was to become for this guy's career. And it's all we've seen the last 2 years, 3 years.
So what
no, I even, think, hold what on, I, even worse, in that third game, if you remember correctly, they thought he was going to be available to play and found out like 2 hours before game time, right? That they had to go with Brissett because he couldn't go, and I don't think they were crazy about it.
And then
that.
The following week, he still couldn't go because Brissett had to get another start. So Brissett had to take two starts, and it was just, like, sorry, I don't want to build with somebody that I don't think can be there consistently, and he's proven he can't be there consistently.
Yeah, I think Bill's ego, though, I think Bill looks at it and says he was here the first time and we could have done something. I really believe that there's no question, as I said, biggest secret in town, right, that Bill wants him back. And I think the opportunity is going to hit, Christian. I do. So is he better than Cam Newton, in your opinion?
Again, yes.
Okay,
I do believe there are 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton. But I will say this. What I think is that San Francisco wants to keep him. But here's the risk for them, because if they cut him, there's no penny. They're not attached. There's no big loss for them. It's
two and
the
a
perfect
half million.
Yeah, it's the perfect time to cut him.
Right.
But I do think they would like to re-sign him. And remember, the thing with the Patriots, it's all about getting the best deal. They're going to undervalue you publicly because they want to get a cheap deal out of you. They do. And what do you think the Patriots would pay Jimmy Garoppolo? What do you think they pay him?
Like 12 base with incentives.
Yes.
So I would say Cam Newton had a better resume than Jimmy Garoppolo. And you could say, well, we didn't have any money. They could have found the money. I don't believe that. So they only paid Cameron just base with a bunch of incentives.
Cameron.
I know him as Cameron. His daddy called Cameron. I'm going to call him Cameron. So you think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to sign here for 12? No chance in hell.
I don't think he's going to have another opportunity.
Hold on, wait a second. He's not going to sign here for 12. They're not going to pay him $12 million a year. If they do, it'll be a bunch of bull crap isn't even real money.
Bingo.
And that's why don't
so you
do
think
it.
They're going to pay him less? Or he's going to want more?
I think I don't think they're going to offer him
that much.
No, I don't.
It's structured, I think, is what.
No,
he's,
but I don't think
saying.
So. If you say, call it guaranteed money, 2 year deal, $24 million Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
Nope. Yep. Nope. 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 Yep. Nope. 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 Yep. No way.
So
he's a $6 million quarterback.
So Mike Reese writes
this
today.
You won't get him
because I think.
No, I don't think he'll get him.
I think what Bill's looking to do is he really truly believes that San Francisco wants to move on from Garoppolo. So he's going to wait until they actually release Garoppolo, and then they can go and get him. And you're right, they're not going to pay him the money that he's getting right now. So this is Mike Reese's column yesterday. Time to make a move. If the Patriots come to the realization Jimmy Garoppolo is their preferred quarterback option and there is notable gap between him and Plan B, this would be the time to press the issue. The Patriots can't make another team trade with him, but they can at least make the San Francisco 49ers consider it with an enticing offer as the start of the new league year begins on March 17th with salary cap space at a premium. How committed would they be if the Patriots, taking more of an aggressive approach, floated something like a second-round pick, number 46, or even cornerback Stephon Gilmore, to get ahead of what could be a challenging contract situation? I don't think I want to make that trade and then have to, as you said, Christian, assume that $26 million contract.
That's bad business.
Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Cam Newton, but I don't want to pay a fortune for him.
But it's totally, like, this scenario is totally seen from the eyes of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
You have a quarterback hole. There's rumors whether they like him or they don't like him, and you're like, all right, listen, let's just cut through the crap. Let's make a trade right now. You know, we're going to offer you the second-round pick, and San Fran's like, no, you don't get it. Like, we're not just here to help you win. Like, unless we get someone who's better than Garoppolo, we're not trading him. He did take us to a Super Bowl. Are we 100% locked in the guy? Absolutely not. But, I mean, I don't think San Fran wants to sit there and say, all right, you know, we're going to go, we'll be the team to trade up and give up future assets to go get a kid in the draft and wait on him for 2 or 3 years. No, Garoppolo's still their guy. Unless, if the Patriots had a quarterback to offer that they like, different story. But they don't. So it's just from a Patriots angle. Like, we want your quarterback. He's our plan A. We want him now. Give him to us. It doesn't work like that.
I just think the ego of Bill, he remembers Garoppolo here. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's just, you know, not including into his decision-making all of the injuries. Maybe he thinks, we'll get around that. I don't know. Send him over to TB12 every day. Do something to get him so that he doesn't get injured. I really think they are still obsessed with getting Jimmy Garoppolo in here. Not because they think he's Tom Brady, but they think he's an upgrade over Cam Newton. And then maybe you're right, Lou. Then maybe they add that young player. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to add it in that first round. So guess what they're doing in Tampa Bay? Tom Brady has played 1 year, and they're suddenly sitting there saying, let's redo the deal and extend you out because, Tom, you want to play until you're 60 years of age. Are the Tampa Bay Bucks making the right decision here? Even though they may be giddy if they just won the Super Bowl. And your phone call, 617-779-7937, right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Keep up with Glenn on Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
That guy in the radio is crazy. He's out of his freaking mind.
We return to OMF on WEEI.
So apparently the Tampa Bay Buccaneers certainly need Tom Brady. They saw what happened this year. I mean, they went from a 7-9 season. They had sucked for the last decade and a half. And now they go on and they win the whole thing and they win the Super Bowl. So what are they doing? Well, Tom Brady is coming out and he's basically saying he wants to play forever. We don't. It's beyond 45 now, maybe 48, maybe 50, maybe 60, who knows? And what are the Tampa Bay Bucs doing? Well, according to Schefter, and this is a report now and not an opinion, they are already in conversations with him now to extend and redo that contract. Does two things. One, it takes Tom away from getting, what, $26.5 million this year. So it gives him money now to be able to rearrange the roster. It's the type of stuff that Tom Brady did when he was here in New England. But we all know eventually you pay the piper. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doing the right thing, taking the old man and extending him.
No. No, this is going to be a mistake if they do it. Because at this point in time, now with Brady, it obviously came at a later age. But the older you get, each team is really kind of playing like, you know, free agency, you know, musical chairs.
Yeah, look at Drew Brees.
Where eventually the music's going to stop. And you really want to be ahead of it. Like the Patriots, listen, you could say the terrible mistake, but they didn't want to get caught. Okay, so they didn't want to get hit with anything and be paying somebody that wasn't playing for them. And I think here's the thing. For Tampa, why would you add a year? Like, you have all the leverage. Do you really think that he wants to leave the New England Patriots, play for another team that he just won a Super Bowl with, and then say, okay, forget this, I'm going to go play for another team?
They may add more than a year.
I think that is such a mistake.
Why?
I really think coming off a knee injury, I think he really has 1 year left. Anything after 44, I think it's going to be embarrassing. We're talking heavyweight champion type stuff that doesn't belong in the ring with a younger opponent.
Well, I think, going I think, off the clip,
I think what it is like, you know, you're all in with Brady. You already won a championship. right? So you want to try to win another one, or one in the next 2 years. So I think this year, given the financials, it's like, why do you do it? Just to spread the hit around. Lower your cap hit. You'll be able to keep a very good player on this football team, whether it's Godwin or whatever it is, right? Levante David, Shaq, whatever his name is, the edge rusher. So it's just, why? Yeah, to lower the cap. And if there's dead money in the future, so be it. The cap is going to go crazy in the next 2 or 3 years because of the new TV deals. So if I can lower the cap by $10, $12 million this year by spreading it out for 2 more years, so maybe in another year or so he's done and I got to take a little dead cap like the Patriots just did. So be it.
See,
the cap is going crazy.
See, that's it. So
but you
basically
need to do it for now, right now.
Yeah. So that and even when I was like writing this out and thinking about it, so what do they care? What are the Tampa Bay Bucks? They've already made hand over fist. They've already made so much money. They've already made an unbelievable deal by an unbelievable decision by signing him. It paid off.
Yeah.
It worked. They won a Super Bowl. They made a ton of money. No. I mean, doing it again, I don't think it's going to happen. They won't win another Super Bowl.
No, but think about it. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
But they're going to be stuck with a dead year like the Patriots.
And they will, but it's okay. Even though they won a Super Bowl, financially, they did not get the benefit of Tom Brady.
As far as tickets?
No.
Everything.
Marketing?
Yeah.
Merchandising?
They were one of
nothing.
The worst. Well,
merchandising they did.
As far as tickets and like capacity in the league, you know, before Brady showed up. So you got Tom Brady. We're going to pack the stadium. Season tickets going to go through the roof. The money's going to come in left and right, you know, hand over fist. It's going to be the best thing ever. They won a Super Bowl, and they still didn't get that financial benefit. You know, they lost a lot of money that they would have made. So now it's like, okay, what do we do? Well, next year there's going to be even more excitement. They're going to sell out tickets like that, sold out, period. They're going to have like waiting lists now for Tampa Bay Bucks. They're going to want to make sure they hold on for another couple of years.
They're
going to need him for one more year after this year, which means you got to give him a 2-year extension.
Well, see, and that's why I think that eventually he won't be worth the money.
No, he won't
be worth the money.
Probably not. Eventually you're going to pay the piper, but
that's my point is musical chairs. The music's going to stop, and you're going to be left with $50 million in dead cap money like the New Orleans Saints.
It's part of what you have to do in the National
Football
League.
That's the price of business in the National Football League. That's fine.
Yep. So I think they're going to extend them 2 years, not 1 year, and I think it's a smart move because what they do is they get that cap number down. They have a lot of guys, including Levante David. They got a bunch of guys they got to sign. So they're able to sign some of their guys. Maybe they're able to get a free agent or whatever that can help out in a weak spot. All because Tom Brady is restructuring his contract and he's extending it at the other end. Now, when he's done, whether it's a year like you've predicted or 2 years or 3 years, you're right. They're going to have a bad period right after that because they're going to have spent a lot of money with a championship team and a lot of money on an aging quarterback who suddenly got really old.
See,
but they don't
care.
What do they care about it?
No, you're right. You're right. They don't care because it's the price of doing business, and business is good. So they're fine with it. They're willing to kind of take a loss in year three if it means being in the NFC Championship 2 more years in a row. But my prediction is that when you look at some of these other quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame, the Troy Aikmans of the world, the Brett Favres of the world, I mean, you just go through the list, they just end up not being able to be available all the time.
He's on borrowed time. We know that.
I know. So why? Again, it doesn't matter because they're willing to take the hit.
What's their alternative?
Well, use somebody else. Use somebody else's contract that is younger that you can use instead of using a guy that basically the last year is you're just throwing the money away. Like, that's the way I think it's going to be. Like, you're 43 right now. You're going to be 44 when the next season starts. Then you're going to be 45. I get it. You're pliable.
46, I think.
I get
that's
it.
How
you're,
it works.
You're,
and then
you're part of it. I get it. You're really pliable, and it works for you. I am sitting there going, okay, I think I'm going to sell my stock now.
Yeah, but you know how it is.
I think I'm going to sell.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're the Bucks, I don't think you want to just roll into this year with $25 million Tom Brady in your roster, and that's it. You know, you got a $25 million cap hit, and you got nothing next year. I think you have to give him another year. And in order to give him another year, as you know, you got to give him 2, maybe even 3.
Yeah.
Thinking you might have 2 more years on top of this thing. Try to turn Tom Brady experience into a 4-year thing instead of just 2. So you give him a 3-year extension or whatever it might be, knowing that 3rd year is just, you know, it's not going to be in the cards. But you know, if next year you sell out and you have season tickets and everyone's on hold and they're going to be packing the place, and you know what? I don't mind eating $15 million because the cap will go up to crazy numbers in 3 years. We've already made our cash. Thank you, Tom. Pat him on the ass.
We'll have a little retirement ceremony before
New England does.
I always think of that that scene from Goodfellas when they have the whale that comes in from Japan and he's he's winning all this money, and you know, and finally he's like, all right, I'm done. You know, but they convince him to come back. He ends up losing it all. To me, you got to know when to kind of call it a day and just walk away. And I feel like Tampa is there. I think Tampa's there now. Well, the fact is that no matter, and I also feel like they're drunk on success. And I think they're also drunk on, okay, listen, okay, let's look at the history of Brady. How do we keep him happy? We got to appreciate him. We got to constantly show that we appreciate him and everything that he has brought. Let's overpay him. Yeah, but it's going to do this. It doesn't matter. Bruce is going to be gone. Brady's going to be gone. Hell, I'm going to be gone. I'm selling this damn team. So all of them are going to be gone. Okay, then you're going to have an in and an out. You're basically going to have Peyton Manning is what you're going to have.
Yes, that's what you're going to
have. Okay, so you better build a strong defense. You better, because I think his days, I mean, he's definitely on the backside now, in my opinion.
But I don't think this run by Tampa Bay is a long run. And what they did is they had built up a pretty good roster. You know, they had 5,000 yards throwing the year before. The problem was the guy who was throwing also threw 30 interceptions. But they had over 5,000 yards throwing. So they had talent. And they were 7-9. They looked at it and said, we're all in on Brady. And now all they want to do is extend the window. And they have to pay some of the other guys, and they're going to use Tom Brady to do it. I think it makes sense, but you're right, Christian. Eventually, they're going to pay the Piper, and the last couple of years of that contract are going to get ugly. Ugly.
Well, I mean,
and eventually he's going to suck because physically he just can't do it.
Well, but also Brady has a history of working with management to restructure his contract, but he's not taking any less money.
No. Anything he does, whether it's a 1 year, 2 year, or loose that maybe 3 year, he's going to get his money. It's just going to be down the road, and it's going to be dead money for the team, because you're right. I mean, he's not going to be able to play at that point. So we've talked an awful lot about everything that's happened since Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Has anybody heard from Bill Belichick?
No, that would be crickets.
Okay. Anybody heard from Robert Kraft? I think didn't the team have like a nice little tweet out there congratulating Tom? Has anybody heard any extensive interviews with any of these guys?
Let me check real quick. Nope.
Interesting.
No, they didn't even like anything.
Interesting. There are two guys in the media basically saying it's time for Bill and Robert Kraft to get to the podium and start answering some questions. We'll talk about it. We'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 next.
The show that's open weekdays 2 to 6 for Patriots fans. It's OMF on EEI.
Seven nine seven ninety three seven right here in OMF. This is a lot different season. Experience. How about that one? 7-9 with the New England Patriots. But with that comes a much different offseason. So what were we accustomed to in February and March? Usually it was the Patriots went to either the AFC Championship or they went to the Super Bowl. They won or they lost. And then after that, it was either the jubilation and they won, and so everybody's happy, so nobody's got a question for Belichick or Kraft because everything's wonderful, everything's great. Or they lost and was sitting there going, okay, what happened? But there was always, okay, next season we're on to being back in the thick of this thing. This is like totally different. Not only are you 7-9, but it was almost like a wasted season because the rebuild hasn't even begun yet. And so there are a zillion questions for Bill Belichick and some even for Robert Kraft. So the media is starting to spout out. They are getting anxious right now because they want to get to the press room and sit down and talk to these guys. Ben Volen was on with Ken and Curtis show, or his hour. What do they call it? The
Ben Volen Football Hour.
The Ben Volen Football Curtis. Hour with Ken and Curtis. As the sidekick.
It's a weekend version of the Greg Hill show.
Yeah, and he's had conversations. So Ben's had conversations with the Patriots, and he says they're shielding these guys from accountability.
I've requested from the Patriots, can we talk to Belichick? Can we talk to Kraft? And with Belichick, I was met with, well, he never talks this time of year, so you're not going to get him. 29, 30 teams at the Combine always do press conferences with their coach and GM, but not the Patriots because they're better than everyone else. Mm. And they don't have to, so Belichick's not going to talk. And then I said, okay, well, what about Kraft? We haven't heard from him in a long time. And I was met with, why do you want to talk to him about the football team? I was like, I don't know, because he's the owner and he signs the checks.
They said that? Yeah. Why do you want to talk to him about the football team?
Wouldn't you want to talk to the football people about what's going on? I said, yeah, but I mean, he's the first guy on the podium to hold up the Lombardi trophy when they win Super Bowls. I would love to hear from Kraft. They're really, I think, ducking accountability here. And, you know, the Patriots want to act like, oh, it's just business as usual. And why would you want to hear from the owner? I don't know, because it's been a year since Tom Brady left. And,
well, and also, how
do you feel about the direction of the team?
He's never spoken at this time. It's not an answer as to why he can't.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Doesn't
and same with Belichick.
When are the owners' meetings? He usually talks there,
right? You're right. That's the other point I was going to make. End of March is when the owners' meetings are, and it's going to be virtual again this year. So he always holds court at the owners' meetings and answers questions about Darrell Revis and Tom Brady and this and that. So absolutely, I want to hear from Robert Kraft.
Okay, you will.
From Robert?
Yeah.
You're not going to hear from Bill.
No, but I mean, I get it with Bill. Is anybody accustomed to hearing Bill talk? Okay, I would say that the coaches' meetings. But no, it's not different. Oh, since we're going through this transition, let me come out and talk to you. No. The coaches' meetings, the whole infamous, you know, drinking orange juice photo, how did that go? Not well. He didn't say anything.
No, see,
and that's really the only opportunity.
I'm not disagreeing that he's not going to say anything.
So why should he talk now?
Well, because I think it's different.
You don't have an answer.
He's not going to talk until we get to the pre-draft press conference, which will be the third week of April. And I will guarantee you, when he does that, and we might hear from Ziegler more than we hear from him, he will actually just talk about guys.
Okay, Glenn, that was a terrible answer. The reality is, Glenn. He's not going to say anything. He never talks during this time of year. So you say, oh, it's different this time. Okay, I get it. Brady's not here. He showed you that you made the wrong decision. You should probably get out in front of it and kind of explain yourself. Like, that's what Ben Volen wants? Like, I mean, he knows this team just as well as anybody else. Why would he be offended? Or why would he assume that Bill should talk? But just because he's arrogant, he thinks he's better than you?
Tommy Carver said the same thing. He wrote an article, you know, the floor is yours, talking about these two guys like getting out front right now and speaking, and there's a bunch of questions to ask him, and he goes through all of these questions. You know what I mean? Did you misjudge or underestimate Brady's ability? He keeps playing at a high level.
Yes.
You know, and it's just talking about the plan of Cam Newton and all these questions. But Bill has set such an amazing, acceptable precedent in this city to where he actually gets the fan base upset at the media for asking questions.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for trying to get information out of Bill, he has set this amazing, he's played this amazing mind game where if you ask him a simple question, the fans get mad at you. Well, what'd you think he was going to say? A stupid question. You know Bill doesn't answer that. Yeah, and you think that's acceptable because he's trained you to the point where you don't even want to ask questions anymore. Certain things, like the next time we talk to him, might be the next time we get to ask him if he watched the Super Bowl.
In August.
Ask him a question about, did you watch the Super Bowl? What'd you think of Brady winning his seventh Super Bowl? And that's going to turn into, I'm not really here to talk about the past. You know, I'm more worried about, Lou, I'm more worried about winning football games and getting these guys ready to win. And if I press him on it, I'm the ass for actually trying to get him to ask him what he thought about something because we haven't talked about him since, right? Or you know, you ask him a question and people go nuts. How dare you ask him those questions?
Well,
the other day we interviewed at Core, they're like, why don't you be tough with him? I ask him tougher questions, I think. But you know what? He's not an ass. He actually answers them. And you know, it's like he hasn't trained you, the fans, to be upset at the media for asking simple, good, honest questions.
Nobody on that station has any right or any knows more about football than he does.
Like this guy.
So he has set a precedent as far as what is to be expected from him.
Here's the difference.
You know, okay, and 1 second, Glenn, because I sit there and go, what's different this year from last year? Oh, well, Brady's not here. I would say every single year for like the last 15 years, there has been some unbelievable issue related to this team, and he stays consistent. So he always, just by being consistent, he insulates himself from all these different questions. And then when he does talk, you know what it is? Rich Eisen at the combine. Yes. You know, friendly atmosphere, good old boy club, friend of Bill. So there is like, no, move. Hey, no cheap shots, nothing. Hey, this is what's off the table. Don't make me be an ass to you. And then, you know, Willie McGinnis, any former player that doesn't have to talk to him on a regular basis is never going to ask that.
Right.
Keyshawn Johnson.
I'm actually surprised. Never. I'm actually surprised. I was trying to think like how he could do it if he just, because he doesn't really do any like the social media stuff. And it would be like an odd statement if he just came out and been like, you know, congratulate Tom Brady in the 7th Super Bowl. It was a great win by a great leader. That's
it. Snap face and panorama.
But that's it, like two sentences. Because then, the next time he talks to the media.
I've already said it.
What'd you think about Tom winning the Super Bowl?
I already
made a statement. Yep. Well, what was it?
I was on vacation at that time.
I can read it for you.
That's what you say. Coach, hey, we were gone.
Talk right. about it. Bill.
We lost the signal.
There. No, but in all honesty,
we were furloughed.
Don't you think a legit question is... Did you underestimate, you know, like Tom Brady's ability to play at a high level?
Yes, I think it's a legit question.
Yes. But,
and his answer would simply be like, you know, Lou, I'm more concerned with trying to get our quarterbacks up to speed. Yep. You know, I really appreciate the question, and that's like his new thing. Great question. Well, thank you for asking, by the way. But I'm just really trying to get my guys up to speed. That's all we're focused on. And it's, how dare you ask him about Brady? It's like he has conditioned you people into, like, not answering anything, and you complain to the media for actually asking him a question.
You're right. He thinks Belichick should answer his questions.
Yeah.
But it is, it is different because as much as those different events had popped up, controversies, over the years, and he shied away from most of them. He did exactly what you said, Lou. He'd make a statement, and that's it. I've already made the statement.
Yep.
I'm not going to repeat
already addressed it.
I've said it one time. I've addressed it. The difference now is from before, they would have success or they would have failure, and failure would mean losing an AFC championship game. Now it's much different. The guy who was quarterback here for 20 years went down to Tampa Bay and had tremendous success. They won the freaking Super Bowl. Your team went 7-9, and oh yeah, we're all sitting here, and people have faith in him. They think he's the greatest coach of all time. A lot of people, including myself, think he's a pretty good roster builder, that you're waiting now for some answers as to where are you going with this stuff.
Did you get and
Tommy Curran wrote it today. He never likes to give us the details. He never wants us to know how the sausage is being made. So he's never going to tell you. So I think the first time he talks is going to be after he's gone out and attracted some free agents here that we get excited about, or somebody in the draft that we get excited about.
I'm trying to remember.
And then he can come out and he can actually talk about those. And if anybody brings up Brady or anybody else, he's going to avoid the question by doing exactly what Lou said, working around it.
But these guys really want him to come out. Tommy has honestly lists like 15 questions.
They're good questions, Stu, actually.
I'll give you
a bunch of them.
How about this? Do you want to answer them?
Sure.
Yeah, why don't you guys answer the questions?
Bill, what are the priority positions you plan to address in free agency?
Next question.
Priority, well, you know, we have a lot of needs and, you know, a lot of different things can happen on draft day. We're gonna base those decisions and at the day of the draft.
We'll continue to try to improve our team any way we can, Christian.
Okay, I gave you too much?
Yes, too much.
Jeez.
As we always do, Lou, we're gonna try to continue and improve our team at any opportunity we can. Coach, how much patience remains for the development of N'Keal Harry? And same Jared Stidham, for that matter.
Lots of patience.
No.
too much?
Too much. No, that's about right, but it'll be more of N'Keal Harry continues to work hard. Jared Stidham, same thing. Two very smart players. They continue to work hard and progress.
Everyone here is trying to work hard and get better.
Okay. Yeah, everyone's trying to work
more.
Hard.
Give me a couple
better.
More.
Are you entertaining offers for Steph Gilmore? And would you extend it?
Well, you know, anything that happens with the team, Lou, and thank you for that question. It's a very thoughtful question.
Very thoughtful question.
We're going to keep that between us.
Yes. Can you throw
I got that one right.
Can you throw it further than Cam Newton?
Well, that was kind of a throw in. How about a Robert question?
He doesn't want to talk to anybody. Yeah.
How about a Robert question? Are you concerned with the higher round draft misses of the past several years? Oh, this one must be coming from Lou. A follow-up, there's been a turnover in the personnel department, scouting and coaching staff, a small by choice. Is Bill handling too much of a load?
Jeez.
Well, we'll continue to talk to Bill about it. I have all the confidence. 6 Super Bowls, what we've done the last 20 years.
As you know, it's not an not exact that it wasn't science. It's not an exact yeah. science.
But it's Robert, just, it's just does Bill have a lifetime appointment as your head coach?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's what I mean. Like,
Sony, it's great to have you.
All these questions that he has here for Bill are legit, except for maybe that last one.
Yeah,
can
last
you throw it further,
joke,
further than Cam? Yeah. But like, and it's so they're upset he's not at the podium to answer this. So it's like they like sticking sharp objects in their eyes, apparently, because they can ask him these questions, and they're all legit. And they would get a lot about, hey, great question, thanks for asking. He wouldn't say anything. Everything would be like, we're always trying to do to improve our team any way we can. Everybody continues to work hard. You know, we'll see. We haven't evaluated the free agent class yet, but we'll, once again, like I told you, we're always going to try to improve the team any way we can. We're going to do what's best for the team. Like, it's and that's fine for people.
See, I wish it would just be, listen, I just wish it would be like true honesty. Listen, you're beneath me. You don't deserve an answer. Like, insult me. I'd rather you insult me.
But Bill, talk about it.
No. Listen, good question, Tom. Great job, Ben. Lou, of course, always good to see you.
I've already addressed that question, Lou.
You guys are stupid. Mm-hmm. You don't know how it works. And you go, and oh, by the way, even if I explained it to you, you wouldn't understand it. So I'm not going to waste my time.
Tommy breaks down that. That is the latest one. We heard this a lot last year. Great question. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, you're awesome.
We heard that so much. And the way Tommy translates that is, how dare you? You'll get nothing yes, like it.
Exactly. That's a great question, Glenn.
It's so condescending.
Yeah, great question. You know, thanks for asking.
It's a new go-to. But there's no question.
But anyways, you know, great question, Mike. Thanks for asking.
If your wife did
that's like
that,
two fingers are up at you at the same time.
If your wife gave you some sort of condescending answer like that, oh, yeah, thanks, hon.
What do you mean?
Great question. Yeah, what was I doing all day? Awesome question. I'm like, good luck.
Yeah, hey, thanks for asking.
You would get a brick upside your head as soon as you're turning around and went to your room. Mm-hmm.
So you talked about Bill's style over the years, and Curran brings up the fact that, you know, he doesn't like criticism. No, nobody likes criticism, okay? So his tactic over the years is to not talk about it when there's criticism that is levied to him in the form of a question, because the next Sunday they'll end up winning a football game, or 2 weeks from now they'll win a football game, and something good will happen, and he's moved on, and he's able to move on. How can you do it now when you're in a rebuilding program that might take 3, 4, 5 years to get the team back to where people remember the good old years? This is going to be much more difficult for Bill to be able to deal, and he's got to come up with a different tactic, I think.
You know what I actually prefer? The whole, you know, when you ask somebody a question, you get into a debate, they go, respectfully, no disrespect. So they start with no disrespect, and they proceed to disrespect you, undress you, basically be passive aggressive, call you stupid names, be condescending. I'd rather that. You know what? No disrespect, Lou. But you really don't know what you're talking about because you're stupid. Disrespect, Lou. Listen, I respect you as a person, but no disrespect to your question. You're not smart enough to understand the answer.
I actually like this. Great question. Thanks for asking.
We get that a lot.
I'm just saying, like, that's great. You know, great question. You know, really, thanks for asking. And it's just
so condescending.
But it's like, and their point is, and it's kind of like, remember we talked about John Henry when you only sit down once a year? And something happened in September, and you try to go back and talk to him 5 months later because it's the only time. You're trying to wrap 12 months of things going on in one sit-down. And then the guy's like, Jesus, you're asking me stuff that happened 8 months ago. Well, yeah, because we haven't talked to you in 8 months. But Bill knows. Like, someone close to him is like, man, you know, that first day of the meeting, they're going to be talking about Cam or Brady winning the Super Bowl. And he knows, I won't have to address it. Not at all? Nope. Because I don't talk about things in the past. Unless it's, of course, us winning championships. Right. And you guys are ungrateful sons of bitches. Or what Cam did 2 weeks ago by throwing for 300 yards. Or, you know, I don't make excuses unless it's about the salary cap and COVID and all the excuse making he made this year and how he went back into the past and all his accomplishments. But when it comes to this, I don't talk in the past.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about just the quarterback. You're going to stick with Cam next week at quarterback?
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Cam's our quarterback.
I mean,
well, at least he finally
open
didn't answer
your throat.
Least,
you know. I'm going to pull my pants down.
Yeah.
And I'm going to crap right down it.
See, but the difference, guys, is.
But no disrespect.
But no disrespect. Great question.
The difference is you could always get to the next Sunday, the team would win, and everybody would move on. And you're right, Lou. What would happen is the Patriots Nation out there would be more pissed off if the media tried to go back 2 weeks before because they've already moved on because the team's won a game or two. That's not the way this is going to operate right now. That's why I think the first time he talks is after he signs some free agents, and all he's going to do is talk about those guys he acquired.
You know what?
All of that other stuff he's not going to get into.
I know we got a break, but I would also like to just to suggest he add these to the list of things to say to people. Bless your heart. That's another one I love.
Well, bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart for that.
Bless your heart for that. Bless your heart.
I know it's Southern. It's a Southern thing. But I mean, so what? He's going to run out of things to use.
Should he do it with a Southern accent?
No, I'm good with it. He's got to stay consistent. No, or like, you know, that's pretty much the only one that I would add.
Just bless your heart. The only one.
No disrespect. And you got to say it that way. Oh, no disrespect. And you kind of laugh about it like Chatham does. Yeah. No disrespect. All right. Come on, guys. Okay. Bless your heart, sweetheart. Oh, maybe sweetheart. Maybe you could do it, sweetheart.
So when's the first time Bill Belichick speaks?
Training camp.
Draft.
Draft.
Yeah, about the draft pick.
Exactly.
Well, you
he
said
will limit it. Okay, he will limit the conversation pick. To draft picks.
Yeah, but I'm talking like open agents. Up questions. Yeah. It won't be until July.
How do you balance the amount of special team snaps that he can also maintain?
Yeah, Doug, that's a good question.
Yeah, I really
I'm
appreciate
telling
it.
You, bless and your heart, no disrespect. I need one more.
No offense.
No offense is okay. I'll keep it on the
just
back
Kraft
burner.
Speak at the owner's meeting.
Don't take this the wrong way.
Yes, that's a good one. Because why? Don't take it the wrong way. Why? Because
you're stupid.
And I'm about to insult you.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you guys in any way concerned in the offseason about...
Sweetheart, let me just answer you.
That's good. He went sweetheart on you.
He went sweetheart on me. Is he going to speak at the owner's meeting?
Yes.
And it will it be uncomfortable? Because what do you, he's going to tell
no,
us how much
prepped.
He loves Tommy.
He'll be prepped.
He'll be prepped?
Yes. Okay. He's going to high road him. Good. Remember.
High road.
When in doubt.
Oh, that's
take
right.
The high road.
I forgot about that, the old high road. So we've talked about a lot of different quarterbacks for the New England Patriots. How about Tua? Anybody talking about Tua with New England? Somebody is. We'll get to it in your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.